a wide range of topics, an even wider range of views. Talk About on Radio Kerry.
Behind the Chair on Talk About, in association with emmacorkhair.com.
Emma, you're very welcome.
Hello, Deirdre, how are you?
I'm very well. And listen, actually, before we get down to talking about hair, just as a business person, you probably heard me mentioning there about London. It's card, card, card everywhere. No hair takes cash. Mm-hmm. What's your story with in your salon now? Do you take both, or are you phasing out the cash, or what?
No. I suppose you have to look at it, you know, for everyone's point of view. Some people like to still use cash and some like to use card. So we've never put anything in place whether you can use one or the other. You know, look, everyone is still paying for a service, so you're going to take it whatever way a person is giving it to you. But I have heard that there is seemingly a bit of aggro, like, around the country and stuff, all right, that people are starting to kind of, you know, feel out the cash and it just all card and things. But look, I think everyone should be entitled to pay whether
whatever
it's cash or card. Yeah, and like you said about London, like, I'm only back from holidays myself and it literally was card everywhere. There was no such thing as cash. So it seems to be
the way
there's a bit of a debate.
I don't like it. Maybe I'm old fashioned and traditional.
No, I like a bit of cash myself.
I do. I like to know how much money's in my wallet. Okay, Emma, as always, the listeners have come up with some great questions for you. So we'll start off with Vera. And Vera says, I would like to go blonde, but my friends are advising me against it, saying it won't suit my skin tone. Can Emma advise me on what type of skin tone you need to be able to pull off blonde hair? Here's a good one for you.
That is a good one. I like the whole idea of the skin tone coming into the question, because that is something that, look, I'm going to revert straight back to, is something we always talk about, is consultation. Consultation is key. And it depends on the type of blonde that Vera is kind of looking for. So, like, it could be a cool blonde, it could be a warm blonde, you know, so you have, like, your sandy and beige tones, or you have a bit of an ashy tone, you know. So it'll depend, like, on, say, the reflection of, say, Vera's own skin tone. So, like, you're not going to do a blonde that's going to wash the person out either, so it might need a bit of warmth just to give your face a bit of a colour as well. So really that comes down to consultation, if there's any images that Vera would have herself that, you know, that she likes the look of. And that's where the advice comes in from your hairdresser, that you'd say, look, I think that's going to wash you out, or if you added still a bit of warmth through your blonde, then, you know, that will kind of enhance it a bit more, that it won't look as bad. But it also comes down to then condition, you know, how quick does she want to go blonde, you know, so there's a lot of things in it. But definitely, look, if it's ourselves that she wants to pop into, or her own salon, it's just key is the consultation in this, and to decide, you know, I suppose the hair plan going forward, really.
Are there people who go blonde for the summer and then tone it down in the winter?
Well, I seem to have done the opposite myself. I've now gone blonde for the winter. it all depends. What we find is that people do like to lighten it up coming into the summer months, because it kind of gives you a bit of a brighter feel, I suppose. Whereas then a lot of our blondes like to tone it down. And, you know, sometimes when we just change the tone of someone's blonde ever so slightly, it can actually make it cleaner and whiter looking than it actually has been. So that, you know, you can kind of play around with blondes and stuff, but what we tend to do is kind of just add in very subtle lowlights through it, but they're still on a very light level, so you don't even realise that they're in the hair. But it just tones it down, it gives it a bit more warmth coming into the winter, and that then when spring starts to reappear and summer, that's when the lightness starts to build up again. Yeah, but you would find it, yeah.
So would you like, let's say this lady Vera came in and wanted to go blonde, would you put her under a certain light and kind of look at her skin tone under artificial light or under daylight?
Yeah, so I'm very particular about lighting, and that was something that was massive to me, I suppose, being a colour technician and from knowledge of what you know. My lighting was actually one of the biggest things that I was quite strict about what I wanted to put in the salon. So obviously I wanted LED lighting, which obviously now has become a bit more beneficial in my electricity bills. But there is actually three different types of light. So you have LED with a yellow tone and you have LED with a blue tone, and then you have LED with a white tone. So I actually went pure white. So my clients actually on a regular basis do give out to me because they're like, didn't look bad like this at home, you know. And what the yellow and the blue can actually do is reflect different off the hair. So that's why I've gone the clear white in the LED, because it gives me the proper reflection of colour on the client's head, you know, in a sense, whether it's after being just done or the client is coming in and we're trying to pick up, you know, say their own natural colour that we're trying to blend it with what's on the ends. So I suppose that's why it's good to see the skin tone under the pure light as well, because then at least when the colour is done, the client can actually visualise it properly, to why we've said you need to add some bit of warmth into it, you know, to clean it up or to soften it out, or, you know, so there's all different things. Like, I don't want to be rambling on, but yeah, no, light is a big thing actually coming when it comes to colour, and yeah, that's why I'm very particular about it.
Okay, so I hope that answers Vera's question. Now, we had a listener from Dingle in touch, says, my granddaughter is just 13 and dyed her hair pink recently. It's very nice, to be fair, but I always believed that you should never interfere with your hair colour until you're in your 20s. Is that no longer true?
I think it's a bit of a myth, to be honest. To be honest, really. Well, I'm colouring my hair since I was about 13 as well. No, look, it's not going to do anything. I suppose the only advice that I can give there is that that girl looks after her hair when the pink is starting to kind of fade out and stuff, and that, you know, if she's trying to go back to her natural colour or she's trying to just keep a bit of lightness through it, because there's obviously an undertone of lightness there for the pink to be actually properly visually seen. I would be just suggesting that it's professionally looked after, you know, when it starts to strip out and stuff, because depending on the underlining that's underneath the pink, that can fade to like a green or a purple or something. So like, if you're wanting to remove it, I would be suggesting it's a salon to remove that colour, and whether the young girl wants to go back to her own natural or, you know, do something different, I wouldn't be suggesting doing home jobs in it, because that's where then the damage will be done.
So you can start dyeing your hair at any age?
Yeah, really? Like, I suppose, look, for us, anything under 16, any young girl or guy that comes into the salon, we would always look for you know, a permission from parents, like from 16 and upwards. But I try to veer them away until at least the age of 16, to be honest, because, you know, it's the maintenance, and like, you know, colours are so big now and there's a lot of work goes into them, and look, it's the parents' bank balance that's going to be damaged, not the teenager, you know. So I do try and veer them away as much as I can, you know, to the 16-17 gap, to be honest.
Okay, that's fair enough. Now, Lestole listener says, would Emma please advise about tipping in hair salons? I always leave about €3 regardless of what I have done, but one of my friends told me she always leaves extra if it's a cut or colour, and that she might even leave a tenner for a bigger job. So there's a controversial issue now.
Yeah,
tipping.
There is. Tipping, yeah. Look, do you know what? The way I look at tipping is, that's the person's own discretion, to be honest. Tipping, I'm not going to have an opinion on it, to be honest. That's, if a person wants to tip, a person wants to tip. It's the same as I'm going into my beautician or, you know, to the girl that does my lashes or something. I'll always show them a tip, but I just do it out of courtesy, because I just feel like, you know, it's a thank you. It's an extra thank you. Like, I've paid for my service, and it's just I suppose it's like a common decency thing. For me anyway, you know, I just like to tip, but I don't stand there and expect a tip either. Like, yeah, I've done my job. The client has paid for their service, you know, and there has been times that I fought with clients going, please, no, like, leave it alone, it's fine, you've paid enough today. But I think it's just out of a gratitude thing that we do it. But look, each to their own, really, and how much you give. Like, it's whether it's €1 or €10 or €20, like, it's still a compliment.
Do the majority of people tip hairdressers?
Yeah.
It's funny because we tip hairdressers. People are a bit funny about tipping beauticians. Some do, some don't.
Yeah.
And we don't tip bar staff by and large, but we do tip waiting staff.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it?
It is the way, I suppose, when you look at the different industries, as you said there, like, I suppose it's always been just a thing in hairdressing. You know, like, I'm hairdressing 16, 17 years, and it's always been. But what I always find as well at Christmas time is that our clientele are just the most generous people. Like the gifts that we even receive at Christmas time, as well as even tips on top of it. And I'm saying, please, one or the other, you know, or nothing at all. Like, you're still coming in, you're supporting my business. That's the way I look at it. Like, I would prefer the client to be coming in supporting my business than actually to be handing out more, you know, for tipping and stuff. Now I could shoot myself in the foot by saying that too, but you know, but yeah, no, look, there's no right or wrong in it. Everyone and each to their own, to be honest.
Yeah, each to their own. Bridget was in touch. She said she'd like to cut her hair short, mm-hmm. but she's been told it would age her. She says, I'm 45 and fed up of having a big head of hair. I feel it would be much easier to maintain if it was shorter. So she's someone's, probably her friends have told her, oh no, it'll age it. You.
Yeah. Look, that's another consultation thing. It's an image, you know, what kind of short is she thinking? Like bob short? Is she thinking shoulder length short? Is she thinking pixie cut? You know, there's so many different options, but there again, it's consultation. It's down to the face shape. It's down to the person's lifestyle. Like, lifestyle is a big thing, because are you, if, like, for example, right, we'll take it that you're doing a graduated bob at the back, so it's like a nice step at the back, you know, are you going to have the time to be blow drying that properly into place, you know, setting it all, you've added a fringe, like you might have a cow's lick, are you going to spend the time in it every morning, or, you know, every time you wash it, styling it and putting it into its right shape? Yes, it's fabulous when you walk out of the salon because it's professionally blow dried, but are you going to be able to do that? Like, that's my kind of question always to my clients when they do come in, if they are thinking of doing a restyle, or they are saying, I want a side fringe, or I want a full fringe, or layering around the face. And straight out, I'm like, are you a wash and go person? And if they say yes, then I'm like, okay, let's change this whole thing. We need to look at, if you're a wash and go, we need something that's going to be easy maintenance, manageable for you, and something that's just not going to annoy you and saying, why did I cut that? You know, and that also can come, and the client can come back in 6 or 8 weeks later and say, I hated that haircut. You know, so you just have to, you really have to look at the overall picture when it comes to a haircut, not down to like people's opinions saying that it'll age you or anything, but it's more down to like your lifestyle, your face shape, and how you're going to maintain that cut is a big thing, to be honest.
It's a big decision for a woman with long hair to say. I mean, the men now listening to the radio would be laughing. Decision, my eye. But if you have a big long head of hair and all of a sudden you decide, you know what, I'm going to chop it all up. I mean, you need to put a lot of thought into it, because there's no going back. Like,
no, there isn't. Yeah. Like, now, obviously we do hair extensions so we can add it back on. But no, and like I have had that with clients, and what we've done is we've done it in gradual steps. So we've taken the length up, you know, we've layered it up. So there is so many options that it's a bit like, are you sure?
are you really sure?
Yeah. So, yeah, look, by all means, like that lady, if she wants to pop into our sales for consultation or even to her own hairdresser, just throw the options out, pick up a few images that she likes. Does she think they're going to suit her? And it just comes down to consultation and just getting the right knowledge and being told what to do and what not to do with it.
And you wouldn't be afraid, Emma, you yourself, you wouldn't be afraid to say to somebody, you know what, I really don't think it would suit you.
Yeah, you have to be honest with someone. Like, you're not going to send them out looking streelish, on the street either, you know. And at the end of the day, we have reputations to hold as well, and you know, that's going, Jesus, that's terrible on her, and look, she did that.
Who did that to you?
Yeah, you know. So I've always been quite blunt and quite straight when it comes to my consultations, and I say yes or no to something. I'm not going to go in a roundabout way. Like, they've come into me for a particular service and a consultation, I'm going to tell them what's right and what's wrong in a way, and that's up to them then to decide, right, Emma's actually not the right fit for me, or Emma is the right fit for me, you know. Okay, I am going to do with that. And that's why we do consultations, that the client is prepared for when they do come in for their appointment and they say to us, look, do you know, we were discussing that, I think I'm actually going to take your advice and I'm actually going to start with it this way, you know. And then when the style is actually done, they're like, I'm actually glad I did that now.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I always come back to every discussion that we have in here. Consultation is the key.
Yeah. Okay, we'll give you a quick breather, Emma, because the questions are coming in thick and fast and rather like the hair. So if anyone does want to ask Emma anything, maybe you're planning a dramatic change for Christmas or whatever, dare I say it, do tell us what you would like to ask. Any question at all to do with your hair, maybe the condition of it, or hair straightening tools or curling tools or whatever. 083 300 3300 if you'd like to give us a shout.
Talk About on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney. Join us every Thursday during November for Dine in Killarney. For menu and booking details, visit their Facebook page.
Behind the Chair on Talk About, in association with emmacorkhair.com.
Now, we've got award-winning hairstylist Emma Quirk with us. Emma has a salon here in Tralee, just across the road from us on Radio Kerry on Main Street. And she comes into us every month and talks about hair and answers listeners' questions. Now, here's one a lot of parents would be able to identify with, Emma. Listener says, I'm just wondering, could Emma advise on how to get rid of nits returning? My son seems to get nits quite often, even though I've been using the special shampoo. Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, so I'm guessing the shampoo is like the chemist bought stuff. So there is a brand that's out there that's actually specifically designed around children. So it's known as Little Greens. If that lady wants to pop in to us in the salon. So there is a shampoo and there's like a detangling spray and there's also like a gel for the hair that you can actually put on. So it's like working as a barrier. But there's actually a tea tree product built into it, which is a massive preventative for head lice. So obviously the shampoo just isn't helping. Now it depends on the product that's actually being used to remove the head lice as well. It mightn't be as severe, because there is a couple of different brands. Not sure of the one. I know the box. I can see the box in front of me inside the chemist, but I can't think of the name offhand. But I've seen that one myself in action, and it's actually quite good. You know, you just have to be making sure that the hair is being taken in such fine, fine sections that everything is being cleared out. And especially if you are removing them, say you're just after having a case of head lice, I would always suggest to go back in within like 5 to 7 days and go back in, because you actually could have missed an egg, and there actually could be still residue of eggs that would have been attacked by the product still sitting as residue on the hair as well. So definitely I would probably go in and just do another round of treatment on that child's head. But also if she wants, pop in and we'll talk to her about those products that we were on about as well.
A lady in her 70s whose hair is thinning would like to know, are there any treatments that would help resolve this issue?
So look, like I always say to a person, anyone that has hair thinning or hair loss or anything like that, yes, there is preventatives there. So the preventatives that they're there are to help that it won't actually go any finer, or, you know, that the hair loss won't go any further, basically. And this is something that we're always talking about with the scalp camera, with the treatments that we have in the salon and the oxygen therapy machine and stuff like that. So that is something, if that lady wants to pop into us, that we can actually have a look, see, is there an issue just sitting on the scalp that the hair follicle is just not allowing itself to come through, or if there actually is actual hair loss there, you know? So if that's the way, and look, I hate saying it, but like when we get to a certain age as well, all our hair does start to get a bit thinner. But look, it could be just even a volume shampoo. That's all it's needed, you know, just to give that life back into it. But it's always good to have a look at the scalp as well. And if anything can be done, or a treatment can be done as well.
Now, a texter simply asks one line. They want to know the best high street shampoo and conditioner range if you can't afford the salon ones. Now, we try not to mention products on the programme, but yeah, in this instance, yeah, I think it's okay.
To be honest, that's a very hard one to answer. Because like that, look, I suppose us as professionals in that field of work, we don't recommend anything, unfortunately, of high street. And when you actually, like, And I think that is kind of the thing around salon bought shampoos and conditioners, that they are expensive. They actually aren't. Like, you will pay minimum of €15 for a bottle of shampoo, but when you break that down and how long you will actually get out of a bottle of shampoo, if you're using it correctly, you can get anything up to 7 to 8 weeks out of a bottle of shampoo.
And most of us use too much anyway.
And that's the thing, because a bottle of shampoo from salon is 80% concentrate and 20% aqua, whereas a shop bought is actually 80% aqua and 20% concentrate. So when you're inside in the shower, you're squeezing it out, it's literally like water content that is literally flying out in you. Whereas the difference with the salon bought is you add water to your hair. So we obviously wet our hair down, we apply the shampoo on, and we feel we're not washing it because there's no lather like you would from a shop bought. By adding the smallest drop of water, you will be surprised how much the hair would expand with the actual sulfate, you know, itself. And when I say sulfate, yes, all our stuff is sulfate free and paraben and paraben free as well, but it's, you obviously need an active ingredient in it for it to allow it to lather up and things. But when you break that €15 down, you're actually saving yourself money in the long run, because you're paying €4 and €5 a bottle for a shop-bought product that's probably not even going to last you 2 weeks in the shower. Whereas by spending that extra and getting that amount of time out of it, plus you're also looking after your hair correctly, yes, the shop-boughts will leave your hair lovely and silky and shiny and everything, but the way I describe that to a person is, think of a sheet of cling film, and you're putting cling film over your hair, you're putting heat on that, you're actually, like, for all the world, you're literally drying plastic onto your hair. So that's why you're getting that lovely silky feel. So even the transition over to a salon product, it takes a couple of washes and for a person, but your hair doesn't feel as heavy on your head, your hair doesn't seem as greasy, you know, immediately after using. And they are big things that we have found, we've come up with, you know, clients coming in the door, or any of the public coming in and looking for products from ourselves, that the difference that they have found just by changing over to salon, that they're like, now I don't even feel like I have hair on my head, because everything is constantly draining it down. So look, unfortunately I can't recommend anything, because I just don't use them.
Okay.
And it's in my profession to obviously tell the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. No, I think that's a very comprehensive answer. It's like a lot of things in life, if you can afford to buy the better version, buy it,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because it will last in the long run, yeah, to be honest. Same with conditioner. So.
It's a false economy, I think, yeah, if you don't. This is an interesting one from Margaret. She says, I'm a lady in my 60s. My hair is naturally white, which I don't like. So I've started using the Moroccan mask in platinum once a week. Mm. Excuse me. I really love it, as my hair is a lovely grey, which I really like. But there's a tinge of purple in my hair the last couple of weeks. This is okay, but I'd prefer it not to be there. Am I using the mask too much?
I wouldn't say you're using the mask too much. We actually stock those those masks in the salon. I wouldn't say you're using it too much, but the thing is, it depends what shampoo she's using with it. So if the hair is obviously naturally white, as Margaret has said herself, it depends. Like, is she using a bit of a purple shampoo? And the reason, or is her own hair starting to dry out, that product is starting to grab to it? I would visually have to see that, but there is definitely something that could be used with it, that's why the purple hue is starting to come. But that could be anything so slightly, but it would just mean a quick clean off in the hair. But that's something definitely visually I'd have to see myself just to answer that properly.
Okay. A couple of people were texting in wanting to know, do you charge for consultations?
No. All our consultations are free. The only consultation that we do charge for is when you come in for the scalp camera, because that is nearly a full half an hour service. But what we tend to do is that if the client is buying products, you know, after the scalp camera, because a person will either go home with a retail product or will have a service done within the day, we don't charge for the consultation then.
Another listener wants to know, how often should you colour your hair, and is colouring it too often harmful?
Okay, so that's actually quite a good question, because there's no right or wrong to that. Look, I have clients that are every 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks. Everybody is different. So what I'd be saying is, that's a question that that lady needs to ask her stylist, and it's just to make sure that the condition. So over colouring it, yes, is going to dry it out, especially if you're trying to freshen up the ends and things like that. When the hair is starting to be dried out and colour on top of colour is only going to darken it. And I know we've come up against those couple of questions before. Tone on tone darkens. So it's obviously a suggestion that we don't colour ends every time a client is in. We might emulsify for a couple of minutes at the basin, but that's just to kind of gloss it over. But there is no right or wrong. I think it's down to a bit of vanity too, like whether you want to see your grey or not on the few weeks, you know. It's just down to, look, it's down to the stylist making sure that the client's hair is going to be kept fresh and that it's not going to be dried out, you know, from constant colouring. And that comes down just from having a chat and knowing your knowledge with the hair.
We'll finish on a lovely positive comment, Emma. You'll be delighted to hear this. Catherine is in South Kerry. She doesn't say where in South Kerry, but she says she discovered Emma through Radio Kerry and is now a regular customer of hers and hasn't looked back since.
Oh yeah, Catherine.
And hello. You actually told me that you've had people coming to you from South Kerry,
yeah,
to get their hair done, yeah, which you found extraordinary.
Here, yeah. Actually, yeah, I know that, Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
So there you go. So you see the power of Radio Kerry.
Power of Radio Kerry.
It does
right,
work.
Yeah,
it does work.
Yeah.
Emma, you got through a huge amount of very diverse questions,
yeah,
there, and even a few controversial ones.
Yes, I like the challenge.
And none of them fazed you as always.
No.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Deirdre.
And we'll see you next month.
Yes. Deirdre, just before we finish up, just to let the public know, we're actually having a customer appreciation night on Wednesday of this week between 5 and 8 in the salon. So anyone is welcome. It's there for like consultations with ourselves. We actually also have a lady called Joy. She was actually in with us a couple of months ago and we had a great response to it when I did mention it on your slot as well. She would be our head educator with the scalp camera and the auction machine. So she'll actually also be in the salon with us on Wednesday evening, which is great. But if anyone is wanting anything knowledge-wise on products, if they need to buy a product, there is discounts on all the retail on Wednesday night as well. So please pop in. The consultations, as we said, are free. Just pop in and even have a chat and see what the salon is about.
Yeah, exactly. And you're on Main Street, Tralee, on the road opposite, or the line of businesses opposite Radio Kerry.
Yes, yeah.
If anyone wants to pop in. Emma, thanks a million.
Thanks,
we'll see you next month.
It.
Yeah.